GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Former State Senator Eric Brakey dialing in on the PD Cudor telephone line. Eric, we're glad to have you here. Maybe some insight into a couple of the firearm-related bills under consideration in Augusta. There are two that have come to our attention. Could we ask your insight into, well, the first of the two is the one we talked over with listeners this morning. George, this was the one that would allow towns or cities to ban possession or ban stop people from bringing their firearm into the polling places and at town or city meetings.
Yeah, that's the one that Kathy Breen, the senator from Falmouth, wants to give communities that option. What do you think, Eric?
Well, I was actually there yesterday to testify against that bill, and I'll say this. I think that it is a well-intended bill. Well, we all know what the road to hell is paved with. It's paved with a lot of good intentions. And the problem with this bill is twofold. First of all, we have strong preemption laws in place, which means that our firearm laws in Maine are supposed to be set at the state level, so you don't have a mishmash of policies all across the state, where a person crossing into one town or another doesn't necessarily know if he's a felon or not, because he doesn't know if the locality respects his right to keep and bear arms. That's the first problem. The second problem is that this would expand gun-free zones, which all data shows are the most dangerous place to be. 92% of all mass shootings in this country take place in gun-free zones, which makes a certain kind of sense when you realize that putting up a sign declaring an area gun-free may disarm law-abiding people with respect for the law, but those who are intent to harm others are going to walk right in there and do what they were planning to do.
Eric, let us jump in for a second because your phone cut out just as you were giving that statistic. What was the statistic associated with the research about gun-free zones one more time?
Oh, I apologize. 92% of all mass shootings, according to the Crime Prevention Research Center, 92% of all mass shootings take place in gun-free zones.
Okay.
I understand the patchwork type thing that you're talking about. I do understand that. As I do what limited research I've done into it, there are places across the country that ban public meetings, public buildings, schools, a whole bunch of places to say, no, you're not going to go. You can have your weapon, but you can't come in here. And some of those are fairly strong gun control states. I mean, the states that, I mean, allow a lot of guns. I used Arizona as an example. So it isn't like this is something we haven't heard before.
That's certainly true. And what I'm saying, though, is having a gun-free zone with no screening in place. So it's different. So, for example, you go into the state house. The state house is a gun-free zone, but there's security there. Everyone gets screened. They go through metal detectors. Okay, there's some assurance there that, you know, no one is just kind of who intend to harm people is going in there despite it being a gun-free zone with a firearm. But if all you do is declare the area gun-free and you don't have any screening, you're really not protecting anyone. You're making everyone less safe. Because if someone wants to harm others, they can charge in there all the same and do it, and they'll be pretty assured that no one can stop them.
For a former state senator, Eric Brakey, we're talking of gun control legislation in Augusta, and George mentioned Arizona. I asked this morning, and we don't know the answer to this, is it a problem in Arizona? If so, we can understand why the laws are needed or they are put in place there. But we're having trouble coming up with any instances of where someone who has come to vote with a firearm at their side has been a problem, or someone that's come to a town or a city meeting, and this is a trite phrase, Eric, but is this bill a solution looking for a problem?
I think that would be safe to say. We haven't had a problem like this. I think it really kind of originates from just people having fear and lack of understanding with firearms, that they think the mere presence of a firearm means people are in danger, when frankly, it often means that people are more safe. When a law enforcement officer is there is somewhere with a firearm, most people would feel, okay, well, I'm glad that this law enforcement officer is here. But we should feel the same way about someone who is an armed, trained, responsible citizen. Should a terrible crisis take place, I'm going to be glad that person was there.
This is kind of an aside to it because I haven't been thinking about this too much. But if someone got into some type of situation in a public meeting, say a town meeting, and say the wrong person gets shot, who's responsible?
I think that's something. If a situation like that occurred, I think there would have to be a that'd have to be something decided in the courts. It would really depend on the situation there. I mean, who would be responsible if an armed, you know, police officer accidentally shot the wrong person in a situation like that? It would be a tragedy all around. But that's why, you know, we don't want to end up in these situations in the first place. And if heaven forbid we do, we, you know, want to make sure we want people to be trained in how to respond.
Eric, best guess, what do you make of the hearing yesterday on this specific bill and what is its political future?
You know, it's hard to tell. I think the opposition was at least, you know, 5 or 10 to 1. So if that's any sign, I think, I think people are going to be potentially cautious about this moving forward, or they're going to see a lot of backlash from gun owners across the state.
All right, let's switch to gears here for a little second. LD 1312. This is the one that has had more publicity than the Breen bill. This is the so-called red flag bill. A lot of testimony. Supporters are saying that police should have the right to confiscate guns from dangerous people. I'm assuming you're against this one. This is Rebecca Millett's bill. There are people conceivably who are mentally unstable. Even I was reading Heller this morning, even in the Hillary, Washington, D.C. versus Heller, that the Supreme Court said in certain situations, the mentally ill should not have weapons. What's wrong with 1312?
Well, we already have many processes in place for situations like that. You have a blue papering law, which involves some level of due process. This LD 1312 red flag gun confiscation orders has no due process. The first time that you as a Maine citizen who is not suspected of any crime would hear that you're being targeted for gun confiscation would be when you get the knock on your door. That's the situation in the state of Maryland where they have red flag gun confiscation orders. There's was a gentleman, Gary Willis, 61 years old, not suspected of any crime, completely innocent. Law enforcement came to his door at 5:17 in the morning, knocked on his door. As you can imagine, that early in the morning, he was a little confused about what was going on. They're asking for his firearms, and when he doesn't immediately comply, he ended up shot dead in his own home. This system, it lacks due process completely. It's a constitutional requirement. Our state constitution says that your life, liberty, or property cannot be taken without due process of law. And that means that you have a right to face your accuser in court. You have a right to a fair trial. But this process turns innocent until proven guilty on its head. It would, based on an unproven allegation from anyone. It could be a former spouse that you're going through a bad divorce with. You could have law enforcement showing up at your door to take your firearms, and it can be renewed again and again. This could eventually, these confiscation orders can result in effective lifetime confiscation for people who have committed no crimes. It's very dangerous precedent. It's like that movie Minority Report, pre-crime, people's rights being taken away, not because of what they have done, but because of what government thinks they might do. That's a dangerous road to go down.
With this bill amended and some assurance of due process, would it be in any way acceptable to you?
Well, I think kind of the whole point of the bill is that there is no due process. So I'm not sure how you can amend it to put in due process. It kind of would defeat the point of the bill. I think this bill is a solution in search of a problem. Again, you know, here in Maine, we're the safest state in America. We have the number one lowest violent crime rate in America. This is policy being pushed by people in the heavy gun control states where, frankly, all the gun violence is taking place. I don't think that we should be emulating the states where all the violence is happening. Obviously, the solutions they have aren't working. We need to protect the individual right to keep and bear arms, and that is going to do a lot more to make to keep Maine a safe place to live.
All right, final question. There was some police support for this bill. I noted the 15 states or 4 New England states have red flag laws. Both Democrat and Republican governors have signed on to this in 15 states. What's the chances of this one passing?
Well, first of all, I'll say there was also law enforcement opposition to the bill. Maine Sheriff's Association, is my understanding, has voted in opposition to the bill. We had two sheriffs there yesterday specifically speaking against it, including Sheriff Nichols from Franklin County, as well as the Aroostook County Sheriff. So I don't know. What are the potential results? I guess it really depends on how sincerely the members of the legislature took their oath to uphold the Constitution. It's clearly unconstitutional. And if our legislature takes their oath seriously, they should all vote it down.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.